This is what we're talking about. We're talking about watching people crash and burn. And anytime someone's using a pickup line, I'm just cringing in my heart because they're going to crash and burn. Don't we love watching people crash and burn when it's not us, right? This is probably why so many reality shows are so popular, like Love Island or Big Brother, right? Because we're watching them and we're like, oh, I see what you did there. You're heading to a crash and burn. And it makes our lives feel so much better, right? We look at ourselves, we're like, I'm not like them, because we see the warning signs and we know it's editing in the show, but I can't believe she said that. If they were to find out, and then what happens? They find out and then everything explodes, right? Or I can't believe he would do that. And then it just comes to light and everybody's angry. And we go, that would never happen to us. That would never happen to me. I would see those warning signs, right? Well, that's what we're talking about today as we start a brand new series called Crash and Burn. And when you hear this term, what do you think of? For me, I go to this place where I think of like a complete failure, right? I think of someone who has just ruined their life and someone who says, like, when I look at their life and I say, I don't know how they're gonna come back from this. But what do you do when it actually happens to you? How do you come back? Is there a way to come back? Because when we hear these stories, it's usually someone who's in the spotlight. They've done great things or they've built a great company, and then a moral failure happens, a financial failure happens, and then they have ruined their complete lives, been publicly humiliated, and everything seems to go wrong. But then the reports start coming out of an autopsy of their life, and all the warning signs are there, right? It's their ambition turns to apathy, the pressure gets too strong, the confidence turns to arrogance, and all these warning signs are ignored. And so what do you do though when you see it in others, but what do you do when it happens to you? So for the next couple of weeks, we're gonna be looking at some stories and talking about what do you do when it happens to you. Now, that's not it of who this series is for. In fact, this series is for three specific types of people. And the first person is going to be the crash and burn person. It's the person who has crashed and burned. And so you might be here and you're like, that's me. Whether it was recent or in the past, you don't know how to move forward. Now, the second type of person who has crashed and burned is the one who sees it in others. It's the person who you see friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, family members, they're on their road, their path to destruction, and you just see it. And the third person that this is for, it's for the person who isn't worried. You're not worried. You're not worried about crashing and burning. You're like, I'm good. Things are going well. So according to this list, which category would you put yourself in? Which one would it be? If you're in the first category, here's what I'm gonna tell you. This is not gonna be a beat you up kind of series. That's not the point of that. You do that enough to yourself, or the people you've hurt, or the people who've hurt because of what you did have done that enough to you. This is gonna be more of a hopeful series, because I want you to lean in, because there's a way back from your setback so you can make a comeback and you can change the story. Because here's the thing, we've all experienced failure. We've all been there. We've all been there before where we failed, whether a setback is something major, like a major catastrophe, a major failure, or even something that just you can't move forward from. And here's what I know about our Heavenly Father. God loves a good comeback story. So you're gonna wanna lean in, because God wants to show off in your life. Now, if you're in the second category, I really want you to lean in and take notes, because this is not a series just about how to make a comeback. This is also a series of how to pay attention to the warning signs. So you might be seeing your friend and you might be like, or your roommate, and you might be like, oh my gosh, I don't know what do I tell them? How do I help them? We're gonna give you some verbiage in the next couple of weeks to help you, help them pay attention to the warning signs. And that's what I love about you, because most of you would probably fit into this category, because you guys are good people and you wanna help other people. You're upstanding people who are made in the image of God. And so because of that, you always pay attention so you can help someone else. I love that about you. Now, if you're in the third category where you're not worried about it, or you're just not paying attention to it, here's what I wanna tell you. We are all one bad decision away from crashing and burning. Aren't you glad you came to church today? It's so encouraging, right? But here's the thing, we tell ourselves that we'll never get to that point, don't we? And so we stop paying attention, we stop worrying about it, and we start using phrases like, well, it's not that bad. I mean, what I'm doing, it's not hurting anyone. And hell, listen, nobody's perfect. It's just one time. I can stop whenever I want to. Or you might even be saying, hey, just listen, you do you, boo-boo, and I'll do me, right? But when we stop paying attention to those warning signs, we start compromising on our values. We stop paying attention to our boundaries. We begin to keep things to ourselves and we stop asking for help. And when that all happens, the setbacks, minor albeit, start happening. But then when we don't pay attention to those and don't course correct, it's on the road to destruction. But if we start paying attention to these, we can prevent a disaster and prevent a catastrophe from happening in our lives. And the story we tell will be like, I almost, but I didn't because I caught myself. Because here's the thing. Most crash and burns are not overnight decisions, but a series of smaller setbacks that get you to that point. So I want to help us. I want to help us not be on the defensive when it comes to our lives. I want us to be able to play offense so we can be who we want to be, but also who our Heavenly Father has called us to be. So basically, we need to take a cue from the 90s philosopher Ice Cube when he said, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? So that's what we're gonna be talking about in this series. And so we're gonna look at three stories of people in the Bible who have crashed and burned, and boy, were they bad. And we're gonna see what we can learn from them so we can have a comeback story and change the legacy we leave. And so today, the first person I want to talk about is King David. Now, you might have heard of King David before, right? You might have heard of him as the giant slayer, the little boy who mustered up enough strength and with a slingshot killed Goliath. And then from there, he rose through the ranks, ended up writing the Psalms, which all of us might feel comforted by when we're struggling. But also, he was described as a man after God's own heart and even had the honor of being in the lineage of Jesus. But did you know David did something so terrible, so horrendous, that should have changed his legacy forever, where we don't talk about him that way? Yeah, but somehow he made a comeback from that major, major setback. And so we're gonna look at his story. And here's the thing, I can't believe this is in the Bible. I mean, most kings would have not allowed this to be written about him. And yet, this is still in scripture, which shows us that it's authentic, but it also shows us we can trust the scriptures, that they're not just trying to paint the people in it as just high and lofty. No, they're real people, and they included, which I still can't believe, this story. So we're gonna pick it up in 2 Samuel, which chronicles the dynasty of David and the expansion of of God's nation, the people of Israel. And we're gonna pick it up specifically in chapter 11, where it starts with this. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. So the springtime is important because most wars would take a break during the winter because everyone would die on the way to the battlefield, or because of the harsh conditions would die on the battlefield without even fighting. So they would take a break and agree in the spring to come back, and kings would lead their armies. Except for David. He sent instead of went, and he remained in Jerusalem. So it's like a reality TV show. You can already see where the crash and burn story begins, right here, right? Because David wasn't where he was supposed to be. And because he wasn't where he was supposed to be, he wasn't being who he needed to be. What did he need to be? The king who led the army out. And because he wasn't being who he needed to be, he wasn't doing what he needed to be doing, which was fulfilling his purpose to rally the troops, to get everyone excited, to go fight and win in this battle. But why wasn't David there? Well, we don't know. The text doesn't tell us, but maybe during the wintertime he got comfortable. And maybe he's like, man, I've had a good run. I deserve a break. I'm going to delegate. You got this, Joab, right? And we don't know, but many times this happens to us where we get comfortable. And we don't wanna leave our comfort. And so my question for you this morning is the same question I would ask David. Are you where you're supposed to be right now? Not here, obviously, or listening to this, but are you where you're supposed to be? Maybe it was like David, where are you where you're supposed to be physically? Are you physically in the right place? Are you going to the right places? Or do you keep going to their house when you shouldn't? Do you keep visiting that place that's not on your way back home that you shouldn't? Like, are you physically where you're supposed to be? Okay. Maybe it's not physical. Maybe it's emotional. Are you emotionally where you're supposed to be? Are you so focused on something that it's taking all your energy and you're working too much, so you're burning out, or you're stressed out, or you can't get past your anger for that person? Maybe you shouldn't be giving your heart so much to them that you're hanging on their every word. Are you emotionally where you're supposed to be? Or if you're a follower of Jesus here, are you spiritually where you're supposed to be? How's your connection with your Heavenly Father? Are you spending time with Him? Are you doing your will or trying to do His will? Are you where you're supposed to be spiritually? Because you see, those are all warning signs. If you're not where you're supposed to be, you're already heading in the direction you shouldn't be going, because that's what's going on with David. Because here's the result of what happens from him not being where he's supposed to be. He says this happens. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. So here's David. He's not where he's supposed to be. And because he wasn't where he was supposed to be, he sees something he was not supposed to see. Again, we're reading this story going, David, red flag. Hello, have you seen this? Warning, warning, warning. But no, he doesn't. But the real reason he sees what he's not supposed to see is because he was walking around. Now, the Hebrew for this means literally doing nothing. He's not paying attention. The word I would use is a weird word, but I love this word. It's meandering. He was walking without purpose. He was just meandering around, not really paying attention. And because of that, he saw what he wasn't supposed to see. And so when you walk without purpose, and when I say the word purpose, not your calling, not your direction in life, but right now, are you meandering? Are you just coasting without purpose? Because studies have shown a loss of purpose leads to a cognitive decline. And what that means is you start compromising and not paying attention to. And you start doing things you don't want to do and doing things that you would say to become who you don't want to be and leaving the legacy you don't want to leave. So the question I'm asking you is, not only are you where you're supposed to be, but are you meandering right now? Are you just mindlessly scrolling, listening, watching, going through life coasting and not really paying attention or caring? Basically, are you living with intentionality right now or not? Because here's the thing, if you aren't, trouble will always find us when we're meandering, and our character will always be challenged when we're walking aimlessly. And so because David wasn't paying attention, someone grabbed his attention. Here's what happens next. So David sent someone to find out about her. Why, David? You didn't need to do that. Like, really? He's not thinking straight. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife. Whoa, bro, chill. She's taken, all right? Why would you keep going with this? What are you doing, David? This should have been a moment where he stopped. But this wasn't just anyone's wife. This was Uriah, the Hittite's wife. This isn't some joker living in Jerusalem who he doesn't know. This is his boy. This is his ride or die. He's part of David's mighty men. They need to make a movie about these guys. It's a group of elite 30 guys who's like David's special ops and even send them on these crazy missions. So this wasn't just somebody he didn't know. He should have known. As soon as he heard wife and then Uriah, that should have stopped David in his tracks. But because he wasn't where he was supposed to be, because he was meandering without purpose, his mind was not focused on what he should be doing or who he should be. And because of that, here's what happens next. Then David sent messengers to get her. Really? She came to him and he slept with her. This is the beginning of David's legacy, new legacy. This is his crash and burn moment that no one at this time knew. But because he was meandering, his emotions got the best of him. And many times, when we're meandering, our emotions and desires overtake our values and cause our character to be pushed aside, and we end up doing something we shouldn't and become someone who we don't want to be. This is why our emotions cannot be trusted and cause us to crash and burn. Now, here's the thing. This was David's crash and burn moment, but we're not done yet. It gets worse. So you need to go read your Bible, but I'm going to summarize the story after this. So David, after he sleeps with her, sends her home and she realizes she's pregnant. So she sends, I know, right? So she sends word back to David. And David, loving sweet David, decides to call Uriah back from the battlefield, her husband. And when he gets back, he goes, hey, you've been fighting hard. You probably need a break. Go home. Be with your wife. I love Uriah's response. That's not where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be with my troops. So Uriah sleeps on the palace steps. This infuriates David. So the next morning, he says, okay, go back to battle. But he sends him with a sealed letter. And in this letter that he has to get, that Uriah gives to his commanding officer, tells his officer to put Uriah on the front lines and push the enemy. Well, we know what that means. That's a death sentence. Uriah passes away. Word gets back to Bathsheba. Bathsheba's so upset. Her husband is dead. And David, sweet David, takes Bathsheba into his home and cares for her. Crisis averted. I'm telling you, you gotta read your Bible. This is the making of a great true crime podcast, right? Murder, adultery, lying. Oh, it's so cool. It's so good. You gotta read it. But here's the thing. David thought no one knew, and no one human knew, but God knew. And here's the thing. God sends the prophet Nathan to David to tell him a story. Now, the prophet Nathan and David are tight. God, he would lean on Nathan for God's wisdom. He was trusted, and he was a friend. But this time was different. So Nathan walks up to David in front of everybody. His whole court is present. And he's like, David, I got a story to tell you. And so he proceeds to tell him the story. I'm going to summarize it. He says, there was this strong, wealthy, powerful man who had everything he could ever want. And there was this weak, poor guy who only had one thing. But the strong, powerful man wanted that one thing. So he took it. And when David heard this in front of everybody, he got so angry. He said, that man should be killed. Nathan's response is so powerful. He looks at David. And he says, Ataish, which sounds like a really bad Hebrew curse word. But here's what it means. He says, you are that man. He just called him out in front of his whole court. At that moment, David's choices became public and his legacy was ruined. You think forever. Now, instead of an upstanding, righteous, does always the right thing king, murderer. Thief, adulterer, liar. He's been exposed and everyone now knows who he is. And maybe that's your story today. Maybe it finally came out into the open. Maybe you're feeling so heavy right now because you're like, this is me. I've been called out, or maybe you haven't been called out yet, but you know you've crashed and burned and you've hurt some people. You've hurt yourself. You've done some things and you're like, there's no way back. I mean, think about it. If I was David, I would see no way back from this. But here's the thing. We don't know him that way, do we? We know him as a man after God's own heart in the lineage of Christ. Well, here's what's encouraging about today's message. Because of David's story, your story can be different. This doesn't have to be the end of your story. Here's what David's story tells me. Failure is not fatal. I got some news for you today. It's not the end. This is not the end of your story. If you're here listening to this, if you're listening to this right now, it's not the end. There's a way back. And David shows us what to do. Here's how he does. Here's the next thing after just a couple of verses, what David says after he's called out. Instead of creating excuses, instead of blaming someone else, instead of trying to cover it up or deflect, here's what he says. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. See, he realized that the Lord is the one who gave him that position and put him there. And as long as he followed the Lord, he would stay there. But when he realized he didn't, he got called out and he realized who he sinned against. And he says, I have sinned against the Lord. He acknowledged his mess up. He came clean. It makes me think about my friend who recently was driving and they were at a red light and they remembered they had to buy something for their kid and they needed it today, that day, because they were gonna need to go to school with it tomorrow. And they're like scrolling on Amazon and with their phone in their hand, and as they're scrolling trying to find it, they look over to the left and there's an officer staring at them. Light turns green, their lights turn on, they get pulled over. Officer walks up to the window. Do you know why I pulled you over? I am so sorry. My daughter needs this right now. I'm gonna be a horrible parent and I totally forgot. I've gotta buy this so it comes today. I'm on Amazon and I was just shopping. I'm sorry. He's like, license please. Takes her license. Comes back. Gives it to them. So, most of the time when I call, every time when I've stopped people for this, they tell me I'm wrong. They lie to me and they try to cover it up. But because you acknowledged it, I'm gonna let you off with a warning. Now, that's not a prescriptive story. Don't be like, okay, hey, I heard this story, it should work for me. That's not what I'm saying. But there is a good thing to coming clean. There is a reason we need to do that. Here's what happens in the same verse, not even the next verse, how Nathan replies. The Lord has taken away your sin. Guys, this is huge. Don't miss this. When many times we don't want to confess, we don't want to come clean, is because we think God's gonna hold our sins against us and that he's angry at us and he's against us. But let's be honest. Yes, there's gonna be consequences, and there was consequences for David, and sin causes that, not your heavenly Father. God loves you and wants you to have a redemption story. He wants to redeem whatever's happened. He is for you and he forgives you. But here's the thing. Even though many of us might even understand that he forgives us, we don't forgive us. We hold our own sin against us, which keeps us from moving forward and continues to make us feel like a failure. So here's what we need to do. We need to do what David did. If you've messed up, don't give up. Instead, we need to fess up. We need to fess up about the mess up. Come clean. Don't hold it in. You're carrying a burden you were never meant to carry. You've got to lift that up. And I know you're sitting there and you're like, that's gonna cause a mess. It's going to be bad, especially if it hasn't come to light yet. Absolutely. But you've got to do it because this is the only way to start your comeback story. You've got to let it come into the light because only bad things grow in the dark. So you've got to fess up about your mess up. Now, real quick, Christians, let me talk to you. If you're a follower of Jesus in the room, many times when we hear a message like this, we're like, oh yeah, I'm good. I talked to God about it. I fessed up, right? And we claim 1 John 1:9 that says, oh my gosh, if you confess our sins to him, to God, he is faithful and just to purify us and forgive us from all unrighteousness. So you're like, I talked to God. I'm good. But we forget what Jesus said. If you have an issue against someone, before you make a sacrifice at the temple, in fact, leave it there and go fess up. And we think we can just talk to God and we're good. And we wonder why we still feel guilt. We wonder why we still feel a burden. It's because we haven't actually done what our Heavenly Father tells us to do, to fess up to him, but also to fess up to the person that we messed up or that we hurt. And so we need to make sure that we do this so that our burden that we were never meant to carry is done. And it's uncomfortable. I know, I get it. And it's gonna probably go bad. It's not gonna go well. But here's the thing, we've got to push through our discomfort because it's the only way forward. It's the only way to set up your comeback story. So, but that's not it. Once you've fessed up about your mess up, the second thing you need to do is sink it up. You fess it up, then you sink it up. My wife, Annie, whenever we're watching TV and some story comes out about someone who's crashed and burned, she'll look at our kids and go, this is why I tell you, sink it up. It cracks me up. She goes hard into them and it's not even their fault. And she's like, if they would just not just talk the talk, but they would walk the walk. If they would just not be who they want to be, but be who their Heavenly Father has called them to be, they would come back. And so she looks at her kids and she goes, sink it up. You're an Agarwal and you're a follower of Jesus. Sink it. It's hilarious. She just goes hard into them and they're like, oh my gosh, here we go again. But here's the thing. That's what we're supposed to do. As whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, this isn't just a Christian thing. Be who you wanna be and be who your Heavenly Father has called you to be. Sink it up. Do something about your mess up, whatever it takes. Pay it back. Go ask for forgiveness. Go make restitution, whatever you need to do. Go fix it. That's what we're supposed to do. And then syncing it up also means don't just talk the talk. Walk the walk. Be who you want to be. If you grew up in church, you might have heard it this way. Confess and repent. Confession is, I need to talk to God and I need to talk to the person. But the repent, I love the word repent because it means you need to turn in the opposite direction. So stop going in the way that's going to lead you to a crash and burn and turn around. This is what syncing it up is you've got to repent. You've got to change your way. See, here's the thing. Confession, it's for your soul. It's to relieve that burden, right? With a person who knows now and it's coming to light. Repentance is for your character. It's to change the story. It's to start the comeback story, to hope that people will now know you in a different way, not just because you're saying it, because you're living it. In fact, David did. He got word back that the battle is still going on while this is all happening in front of everyone. And here's what he did. So David mustered the entire army and went to Rabbah and attacked and captured it. Do you recognize that? That's the city that he was supposed to be at the beginning of his crash and burn story. He said, you know what? I got word that it's still going on. I need to be where I'm supposed to be. Instead of meandering, I'm gonna go with purpose to where I need to be. And he went to Rabbah. He synced it up. He realized what he was doing was wrong. And yes, he still had to pay for this, for his consequences of his actions. He didn't like get a peachy keen life after that, right? But in the end, he chose to do what was right. And this is how he was able to be restored by God and how now we no longer talk about him as a murderer, as an adulterer, as a liar. No, now we talk about him as in the lineage of Christ. And for you, do you want people to remember you in that way? In the way you've been? No, I know you. Not from what you've done, but who you are now and who you want to be known as now. So, sync it up. Adam Grant is a organizational psychologist as well as a best-selling author. And when he talks about syncing it up, he has this quote that I want to share with you. And he says this, character is the capacity to prioritize your values over your instincts. Character is the ability, the capacity to make first, to put above all else in your life. Not to give into your instincts, not to give into your desires and into your emotions, because we know those can sometimes lie to us. But instead to put who you want to be, your values, the values you live your life by, how you want to be known, the legacy you want to leave. And that's the thing. That's what we need to do is we need to prioritize our values over our instincts. Because you see, David, he prioritized his value of glorifying God with Goliath. But when he faced the desires of Bathsheba, he prioritized his instincts. So David defeated Goliath, but lost the battle to Bathsheba. Our real giants, are the desires we haven't killed yet. We need to sync it up. We need to be who we need to be and be who our Heavenly Father has called us to be and be where we're supposed to be and to live with purpose and not let our emotions get the best of us so that we can come back from our crash and burn so that we can learn from our mistakes and make a better decision next time. Now you might be here and listening to this and your crash and burn story isn't actually your fault. It might've been someone else's fault or something that happened to you. Here's what I want to tell you, this still applies, but in a different way. Fessing it up just means talking to God and bringing this to God instead of holding on to it. Because it has so much power over you. But trusting your Heavenly Father wants what's best for you and talking to him about it, and then he can help you sync it up by no longer letting that have power over you so you can move forward instead of being stuck where you are. Because here's the thing. God can use your story. He can use what happened for your good and his glory. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans. He says, and we know that in all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. He specializes in redemption stories and he can redeem yours. If you would just trust him with it, He can somehow use it. And yeah, you might not see it this side of heaven. He might just use it to make you stronger, or he might use it to help you help others who are going through it now. Because that's what he does. He's so compassionate. He's gracious. He wants to help you tell a different story, a better story, a redemption story. And he did it for David, and I believe he can do it for you. The reason I know that is because of our family friend, Carrie. And Carrie, when she was young, we just saw the warning signs of the direction she was headed. She was looking for worth in all the wrong things, and she started running with the wrong crowd. And because of that, she was not listening to anyone. She's like, I'm gonna do me. She got into drugs, got into prostitution, and eventually became a drug dealer. And while dealing drugs, she gets caught and thrown into prison. She does her time. When she gets out, one of her friends tells her, hey, why don't you pray? She's like, really? Why would God want anything to do with me now? Because you see, she grew up in church. She knew all the right things. She knew all the right ways to act, just like David did. She said, why would God want anything to do with me now? But she did it anyways. And she tried and tried. And she started hearing God say, hey, I can help you change your story. You just need to sync it up. You just need to be who you need to be and who I've called you to be. And as she started receiving that, instead of finding worth in what she used to find worth in, she started finding worth in herself because God called her her masterpiece. Said, you are more than a conqueror. You can tell a different story. And now, she has a thriving small business, has a sweet daughter, but also works at a rehabilitation center and leads two groups that is helping people get out of that lifestyle. God has redeemed her story. And if she were here today, she would tell you, I get to give away what God has given me. He can do that for you. I don't know where you are today, but let's fess it up. Let's sync it up. And let's trust our Heavenly Father. Let's move forward instead of just staying where we are, because it's so easy to let our past define us. But let's keep the past in the past and let's change the future. Don't stop. Don't give up. It's never too late, because if God is involved, it's always too soon to quit. You can change the future because your story isn't over. You are who you say, who God says you are, not who you think you are. Yeah, you shouldn't have slept with them. You shouldn't have stolen that, told that lie, lived in the shadows, walked all over those people, abused your power, or even torn apart your family. But here's the thing. God is not against you. He doesn't hold your sin against you. He forgives you. He is gracious and merciful and wants to help you redeem your story so you can live the full life that Jesus talked about and have the freedom he wants you to experience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good that you would not hold our own sin against us. Yes, we have to face the consequences, but you don't cause those. In fact, you want to redeem us from those, and you want to help us move forward so we can tell a different story, a better story, a story that is for our good and your glory. And when we fess up and sink it up, that burden is relieved, that guilt is removed, and we can live and walk in the freedom. And people can speak about us differently, because we're not just going to talk about it. We're going to walk in that. We're gonna walk in your grace and in your mercy, knowing that you're gonna redeem our story. And it's gonna take time, and it's gonna take pain, and it's gonna take discomfort, but it's going to be a different story in the end. And our legacy is going to be better, because you are going to get the glory. Thank you, God, so much for how you love us. Thank you for sending Jesus. It's in his mighty name we pray, amen.